Welcome to Helsinki China Podcast. My name is Julie Yuwen Chen, Professor of Chinese Studies at University of Helsinki, Finland. Join me today are my PhD student Eero Suoranta and China's famous sci-fi writer Chen Qiufan. Eero, his research is about Chinese science fictions, so he will be leading the discussions with China's famous sci-fi writer Chen Qiufan. Chen Qiufan's book, The West Tide, has recently been translated into Finnish. In our university now, we have the collection of both the Finnish translation, the English translation, and the original Chinese version. We are really delighted to have a chance to have Chen Qiufan with us. So let me begin by asking the first question, and that is, what motivates you to write West Tide?
Thanks, Julie, for having me here. So, the pleasure is mine to have this kind of very precious opportunity to exchange some ideas with all this Finnish friend. Speaking of West Tide, I think it was written back 10 years ago exactly. So that was the time I went back to my hometown, Shantou, a small city in Guangdong province. I had a chance to had a dinner with my childhood friend. We're classmates, so one of those who working for a America recycling company back then, he told me there is a small town named Guiyu, just like 60 kilometers away. Since like 90s, it was the center of electronic waste recycling center. So I think that's something I didn't know before, and even I believe most of the people around me didn't know this place at all, because you couldn't read any of the articles, reports from public media. So I start to dig into the place, and I start to do some research and read some reports, anthropology report from Greenpeace. So it certainly shocked me, like in the most unexpected way, because it's not only a local issue, it's global issue, because all the waste the people in Guiyu are dealing with is from all around the world. Actually, it's just not in my backyard principle coincidence, like everyone in the developed countries just shipping their waste and trash into other developing countries like East Asia, Southeast Asia, Africa, India, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's a very interesting and profound topic to be discussed. But I think the story must be told in a more metaphorical way, because if you put it like just like in a realistic style, it might become a nonfiction. It might tap in some pain, a pain point of the local government, because they are actually working together to create this kind of ecosystem. So I think people make a living upon this kind of business, like the local people, local families. So I think it's better to describe in a science fiction way. And it's not only in China, it's all around the world. So everyone in elsewhere in the world might resonate from the same story. In the winter of 2011, when I traveled in Dublin, because I used to work for Google back in the day, I have this kind of exchange program. I have to stay for 3 months in Dublin, Ireland. You know, in winter, there's nothing to do in Dublin. All you got is like drinking beers, and watching this, I don't know, even not dog racing. There's only raining, snowy, and pretty windy days. So I think that's why Dublin become a city of writers. they have so many great writers because there's nothing else to do. So I start to put in down my thoughts and start to write Waist High. And it took me, I think it's almost like 1 year, because I using my spare time to on writing. We spent a lot of time to have it being translated by Ken Liu into English and got published in 2019. So during this long period of time, a lot of things happened. Especially in China, like in 2018, January. So the government, they published this kind of ban towards 24 type of foreign waste, including electronic waste. So all the things become illegal. The Guiyu has to upgrade their ecosystem and transfer to another kind of more legal, more eco-friendly, sustainable way of running this kind of recycling business. As I can see from the news and some research, the air, the water have been improved a lot since 2018, but not the soil, because there are so many heavy metals was accumulated in the soil. So it might take hundreds of years to eliminate. But now you can see it is on the right track for Guiyu people. So I make up the name for Silicon Isle. Actually, in Chinese, it's pronounced pretty much the same as Guiyu. So it's like Guiyu. You can see in the Philippines in 2019, there's a huge protest against the imported trash from Canada. So that's already a global awakening is happening right now. So for those developing countries and areas, the people are aware of how this kind of damage will cause to their right now, because the climate change, sustainable issue, and also in China, we right now aiming for carbon neutrality in 2060. So it becomes the mainstream key issue of the society and for everyone's concern right now. Right now, I'm actually working on the sequel for the next and the third one. So I try to build it up as a trilogy, because I think there's so many elements, so many things to be unfold. So I think that's wonderful journey with Waist High. And also, I hope you can look into the other books as well. For example, the very recent publication, AI 2041.
Your writing style has often been called science fiction realism. And with Waist High in particular, it's been sort of described as part of the cyberpunk subgenre. Could you tell us about what do these labels mean to you as a writer, if they mean anything?
Yeah, I'm always a huge fan for cyberpunk. Since kid, I watch Ghost in the Shell series, and also reading works from William Gibson and Neal Stephenson pretty early. So I think cyberpunk give me a lot of influence. I have to admit, I try to imitate William Gibson's style. In Waist High, for example, there's a lot of very in detail description for the objects. Maybe for a scene, it's sometimes seems to some readers is unnecessary. But to me, it feels like what striking me the most when I read Neuromancer is how William Gibson imagine and describe this immersive environment to throw you into a totally strange world without knowing anything. So you need to discover and explore piece by piece and putting all these fractals together to reshaping, reforming the perception. So that's something I think is pretty much right now what we experience in virtual reality, because I used to work for virtual reality companies. We think a lot every day how to create something, a stunning experience for the people, not to telling them what to do, but help them to explore by themselves. I think that's the way I try to show the reader in this book. But maybe now I'll do it in a totally different way, because I always try to do something new, something even more avant-garde or even more experimental. Yeah, sometimes you have to consider the market, the reader as well. But talking about like science fictional realism, actually it's a term I raised at, it's almost 10 years ago. So in a conference, and now it becomes something people will use very naturally when they're talking about Chinese science fiction. I think this is a totally good thing I would love to see, because it means you create something, right? Even it's not very original, but there's something you started. The real world is urgently needed for this kind of discussion, like around like climate change, around inequality, around technologies. Those stuff discussed a lot in science fiction for many, many decades. But before that, people wouldn't take it serious enough because they think it's for kids. Is for those escapists, for those big boys. So I think that's totally something very familiar in China back in the day, because science fiction, it was categorized as children's literature for such a long time in the school, in the university. So it was taken as something marginalized, not important, and immature literature. So even now, maybe some elder generation might take it in this way as well. But now I really hope the readers, the critics, the scholars, even the government will take it very seriously, because we want to leverage this term to educate the people. Like science fiction, it's a way, it's a methodology. So it's the way you look back to reality in the present day from a futuristic standing point. That's how you make the speculation backward. If you try to reach that certain point in the future, like carbon neutrality in 2060, what you supposed to do, what you supposed to plan, what you supposed to build, like according this step-by-step roadmap. So that's certainly a lot of like speculation and imagination within this super complex procedure in the future. So it becomes something fashionable.
So Chou Fan, it seems that there are two versions of your waist tie. Could you tell us why it is so?
Yeah, because during the process of being edited and translated into English, so I actually rearrange a lot of timelines, and also we revise some violent scenes, sexual scenes, because in the original edition, Mimi was set in the age of 16, which is kind of like, you know, like too young for the English market. It might be illegal, right? So we changed the age, and also we changed those direct violence into a more intermediate violence using technology as a medium. So as you can see, we're using some kind of very kinky devices as a way for the knife to assaulting the girl.
You have been listening to Helsinki China Podcast with me, Julie Yuwen Chen at University of Helsinki, and with Chen Qiufan, China's famous sci-fi writer, and our PhD student, Ariel Suorangta. Talk to you next time.